You're listening to a recorded talk from Greenbelt Festival.
So I'm Jonathan Cox, I'm the Deputy Director here at Citizens UK, and this is...
Hi, I'm Hannah Gwetton, I'm a lead organiser in South London Citizens.
And do you want to tell us for those, or give us a wave if you are involved in Citizens or know what Citizens is a bit? Okay, a fair number, wow.
Yay, loads of you.
Amazing. But Hannah, for those that don't know what Citizens is, do you want to give us a quick précis?
Yes, so Citizens UK is a alliance of community organisations, churches, mosques, synagogues, charities, food banks, schools, universities, unions, working together for the common good. We believe that we can achieve more by working together than we can on our own, and we want to take action on the issues that are impacting our communities.
And what sort of actions and issues are, say, you working on with your alliance currently?
So in South London, we're working on some hyper-local campaigns, like getting a zebra crossing outside a school so that kids can get to school and home safely. We are working on getting access to healthcare for migrants in our communities, which is a South London-wide thing. And then we're also working on some national campaigns around affordable and good quality housing. So at every scale... whether it's something small like a zebra crossing or massive like national housing policy, the purpose is that we've got people at the heart of it, working together across our differences from very different backgrounds, walks of life, ages, types of organisations. But we want to bring people together and show that we can take action, we can have more power when we work together than we can on our own.
And these alliances, they're non-partisan, right? So we're not aligned to any political party, but it is political. It is political. It's... not just, we think our definition of politics is not just about voting, as important as that is, and we did a big load of pre-election work this time round. We were kind of expecting it to be doing it now. We were expecting the election to be in October, and we thought Greenbelt would be a perfect opportunity just to do a big bit of work around voter registration. And unfortunately, the Prime Minister had other ideas. But part of the message of this is that politics is too important to be left to the professionals only. We honour and respect those who seek election. We need good people to do that. But politics is too important to be left only to those who get elected, and it's too important to be reduced to just voting, as important as that is, once every 5 years. It is about how we participate in public life in our local communities on the issues that we care about. And we're really delighted that, along with the Joint Public Issues team, we'll be running these three sessions, one tomorrow at the same time and one on Sunday. We'll be exploring what that looks like at a local level. And in today's session, we're going to be starting with some testimony from Beth, who we'll introduce in a minute, who is a leader with Citizens UK in Tyne and Wear Citizens. He's going to be talking about what it's meant to respond to the riots using a community organising methodology. Then we're going to be hearing from Rue, who's going to be providing a theological reflection on the riots. And then we're going to hear from you and you guys, or anyone who's up for it, about what you or your community has done in response to the riots this summer. And then we're going to segue seamlessly from that into saying, well, what does it mean then to get involved in politics? Politics and democracy as an alternative to violence in terms of what we want to get done. And then we're going to finish with an exciting role play for people who want to get involved to learn how to negotiate. We're going to set you a role play to imagine you're negotiating with your local MP around an issue that you care about. And we're going to learn about the skills of effective negotiation, which is what we do week in, week out, Citizens, training people to negotiate with decision makers and get the change they want. Does that sound okay?
Yeah,
that's what we're going to do. Lovely. Well, okay, in which case, without further ado, I want you to give a warm Greenbelt welcome to Beth Whedon. Beth is works for Space 4, and she'll explain what Space 4 is in a moment. And that organisation is part of Tyne and Wear Citizens, which is one of our 20 or so chapters around the UK. And Beth, first of all, tell us a bit about you and a bit about the organisation that you work for, Space 4.
Hi, I'm Beth. I am a community organising leader at Space 4. Space 4 is a church-run community project in Houghton the Spring, just outside Sunderland. It is a place where people can come and find a place of belonging. It's a place where they can find practical support in terms of food banks, hot food if they need it, craft groups, various other things, toddler groups. And we have a subsidised community food store. Lots going on.
and you're deeply rooted in the community. I went to visit Beth in January this year, and even just the time I was there, the flow of people coming in and out, some people with real issues that they need direct support with, other people coming for fellowship and that social connection, but you've really established yourself right at the heart of the community, doing great community development work. Why did you then get involved in Tyne and Wear Citizens? What was it about community organising that you felt you needed that you couldn't do just by being Space 4?
Well, we'd been going for about 8 or 9 years before we became involved with Citizens, and we found we were doing more and more and more in terms of supporting people in poverty, all kinds of things like that, but nothing was changing. The need was getting greater, not less. Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit, it sounds a bit like that kind of famous Desmond Tutu quote, that sometimes you need to stop just pulling people out the river, sometimes you need to go upstream and find out why they're falling in the first place and do something about that. And that's a kind of a neat little way of thinking about what Citizens does, not to diminish our charitable work, which almost all of our member organisations do, direct work in communities, but at a certain point, they kind of say enough, and we need to go upstream and deal with some of these issues at source as well. So tell us a little bit then about the riots and what happened in your community over the summer and how you are responding through your organisation and through Tyne and Wear Citizens.
So we've recognised for a while that the rise of the far right in our community was a significant problem. We were finding that people were not engaging with politics in any formal sense. People weren't registered to vote, they weren't interested in voting. We were part of the election registration campaign, and it was a big battle to get people to register to vote. So we're part of Sunderland, and so you'll have seen on the news that Sunderland was significantly impacted by the riots fairly early on. Since then, we've, as Tyne and Wear Citizens, and that includes us, we've been sort of reaching out to show solidarity towards the people that were targeted.
And who was that in Sunderland?
Primarily the mosques. We've been meeting with visiting people at home, in the mosques, wherever they feel safe to meet us, and listening to their stories, really.
What have they told you, Beth? What's their reaction been?
Obviously, there's a lot of people very anxious and still very anxious, so they're in WhatsApp groups, and every time they want to go to the shop, they're saying to the group, is there anything going on at the moment? Is it safe to go out? But also, I just was overwhelmed by the grace and compassion that they felt towards the rioters, and that they recognised there's a build-up of social issues, maybe mental health issues, all kinds of things that have contributed to that.
Thanks, Beth. That is a really hopeful note to end on. Beth Weedon, everybody. A round of applause.
Thank you, Beth. I think communities like yours that are doing that work of responding, it starts with relationships, doesn't it? It's like being there on the ground and being human to each other. That is a big part of what we do at Citizens. It's part of tackling so many of the greater challenges that we see in our communities. I'm going to hand it over to Rue now from the Joint Public Issues team. Rue, I'm really excited that Rue's here, because last time I saw Rue that wasn't on Zoom, we were doing a nativity play on the steps of Croydon Council, where he had his priest dressed up as a donkey as part of a citizens' campaign to get more affordable housing in Croydon, which is now being built.
Yeah.
Handing over to Rue, not with a donkey costume, but for a theological reflection on the riots from your side.
Thank you so much. Yes, the donkey costume was far too hot to wear today, but maybe next time. I'm Rue. I work with the Joint Public Issues team. That is a group of people who work with the Methodist Church, the URC. Oh, wow, there we go. The URC. Yeah, there's one there as well. And the Baptist Union. Wow, there's so many Baptists in. Who let the Baptists in? That's great. We love the Baptists. We also have associate partnership with the Church of Scotland as well. Wow, welcome. Are you actually anything to do with the Church of Scotland? You just wanted to make a noise. That's all okay. I'm very quickly going to share this with you. We also have some people from the Joint Public Issues team here, or who have been part of the Joint Public Issues team in the past. Matt, good to see you. Over here we've got Simeon, Steve Hucklesby, and Steve Tinning over there as well. So they're everywhere. They get everywhere, this Joint Public Issues team. And it's really lovely to be able to join in with citizens today. Thank you for letting us be part of this too. I'm just going to share with you for 2 minutes a little thought that I was thinking around this issue. And I'm really inspired by that story, and that's the story that I think we need to keep telling. Matthew 5, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount says, "Blessed are the..." Who said cheesemakers? How dare you? The peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. And in the Joint Public Issues team, we have 6 hopes. One of those hopes is for a world that actively works for peace. The word actively there took a while for us to kind of work out. Do we want to have the word actively in there? Isn't it obvious? No, it's not. Because peace is not the absence of conflict, although we like that. The absence of conflict sounds like a good idea. Peace is not just finding a happy medium where everyone can kind of work it out. The essence of peace is whenever we find justice and righteousness. That is the true shalom peace, when we can be in a place of justice and righteousness. The challenge for us in this period just after riots is that it kind of feels like we're into a more peaceful moment because the riots have stopped. And it's been so inspiring hearing about those kind of counter-protesters who went out in on force and quelled that agitation, quelled that anger, quelled that resentment and that violence. But the real work will now continue in what do we do now? Now that riots perhaps are finished, I don't believe that that is a true sense of peace for our society just because riots aren't happening. The issue is we're still not at peace in our society because we still have unrighteousness and there's so much injustice in our society. I'm not condoning anything that has happened during the rioting. I'm not condoning the standpoints that people were having, but I am saying that we as people of faith perhaps, or Christians and our churches, have so much work to do, and I'm sure you feel it as well, in our communities where there is agitation and unrest, where there's injustice, where people are crying out for justice and are looking for it, and some people are taking to the streets in anger and violence because of it. The root of that, and looking back into that, is ultimately about that feeling of injustice that they have in society, and injustice perhaps that we feel with society as well. So I just want to leave you with those thoughts. Blessed are the peacemakers. Are we part of a society? Are we part of a church? Are we part of a family that actively works for peace? Is it one that we just hope will happen one day? Is it something that we just hope people will just get on with life and everything will be fine? Or are those things that are bubbling under the surface? Are those the things that we can possibly help with? Can we possibly intervene with? I'm going to give you some hopeful tools that will help if you're part of a church, that will help you later on to be engaging in that kind of upstream stuff that Jonathan was talking about as well. All right, I'm going to stop now and we'll tell you a little bit more later on.
Thank you, Roo. As Jonathan said, we're now going to want to hear from you. Conversations are a big part of what we do at Citizens UK, starting with relationships, as Beth talked about, that is part of the work of peacemaking for us. So I'm going to encourage you to turn to somebody nearby, ideally one-to-one, but you can do it in a bigger group if that makes sense. And especially if you want to be brave and speak to someone that you don't know, I'd really encourage that, but no pressure. And turn and ask that person, what did you or your organisation do in response to the riots? And what are you thinking about what you do next? I'm going to give you 4 minutes. Well, I know what you did. Okay. See lots of conversations going on. I don't want to interrupt your flow, but what I do want is to invite anybody who'd like to share what you or if you think the person you spoke to had a good answer or something that we'd like to hear. If anyone would like to share that with the room. Yes. Are you all right to come and stand here with this so that it can be recorded for the... Otherwise, I have to do an awkward summary of what everybody says. Tell us.
Yeah, I work for the Church Urban Fund, and we've been doing some stuff on dialogue called Near Neighbours between different organisations, different cultural groups. And what really struck me is, yes, we've got to stand in solidarity with our friends in the Muslim faith. We've got to stand in solidarity with our friends who are refugees and asylum seekers. Take that as completely read. But we often do that on the turf of the Muslim community. We often go to the mosque and we meet them where they are because we want to be show our willing to engage with them. And that often takes place, and we've been doing it for about 10 years. But the right-wing guys we've just been talking about, the disaffected guys, are often off on their own outer estates. And they would never come into the inner cities to go to the mosque because they're scared of going to that. So what we've actually got now is two groups that are fearful of meeting each other. And is there a place that we can actually try and create a mutual meeting place to try and create that dialogue? Because at the moment, that dialogue ain't happening.
Thank you for sharing. Did anyone else? Yes, are you all right to come as well? What did you and or your organisation do in response? Hi.
So I live in Hull, and I've lived there for 18 months, and I live on one of those outer estates that you were talking about. And the riots did happen in Hull, but they didn't happen in my area. They happened in the centre, and they happened in the area with which is more multicultural. My area is largely white, desperately poor. It's got the lowest voting record in the country for my constituency. And I was really shocked that when it was the election, I didn't see a single political poster around or anything. And that's not what I'm used to coming from Leeds. So the riots didn't happen where I am, but the first person to be jailed lives down the road from the church. And it's how do we understand why they happened and what are we not talking about in our communities which allows this all to happen, and how do we manage to have those conversations, particularly with people who aren't being used to being listened to, who aren't being used to having a voice? So how do we have those conversations, and yeah, what can we do as a church in those circumstances? So it's more questions than anything else, really.
Thank you. I can see lots of people nodding along, and I think probably, let's give a round of applause, asking similar questions to you. And those questions of how do we listen to each other across deep differences, across often deeply different political views or opinions or experiences, but do that in a way that humanises the other person, even if we're not condoning what they're doing. I'm going to hand over now. Thank you for those who shared. We're going to continue actually having some of these conversations. If you want to have more longer conversations, more than just a couple of minutes, about the things that you care about, the things that you're doing in your communities, come to our stall, because we're really encouraging people to have those conversations. I'm going to hand over to Jonathan now. He's going to introduce the next activity. Oh, there you go.
Thanks, Hannah. Don't even steal your microphone then. I've got one. Thank you for that, and thank you for sharing. The lady from Hull, perhaps where you've gone now, there you are, sorry, what was your name? Lindsay, really set up a brilliant segue into where we go from here, because we could spend all weekend probably sharing stories like Lindsay's and Beth's and others about either what's happening in our communities, or what we'd like to do in our communities, or the opportunities we feel we've missed. But at some point we've got to move into action. As Rue was saying, it's got to become active. And that's what we specialise in citizens. So this is not to say, literally, oh, we talked about it for 10 minutes, we can put the riots on one side, it's obviously much more complicated than that, but we do want to start to give you a bit of a taster of some of the practical things that you can use using community organising in your community to try and address some of those long-term underlying issues that can cause things like riots in our community. And one way of thinking about the riots and of violence in general is about them being what happens when politics fails. Okay? When I say that, I don't mean to say, oh, it's all the politicians' fault and we just blame them, because I think that is too easy and too glib. But I mean politics in that broader point, the role that we can all have as citizens in a democracy to be able to act together for change, particularly at a local level. In community organising, one of the little mantras we use, one of the little phrases is, if you don't have a seat at the table, you're probably on the menu. Okay? If you don't have a seat at the table, you're probably on the menu. And in many of the communities that we organise in, many of which are low-income communities that have experienced lots of injustice now and historically, people often feel that way, that like they are on the menu and not at the table. And if people feel that there isn't a seat for them at the table, and they've lost hope that one is even possible, then they may well be tempted to smash the table up. And that's what you see happening with riots. So organising, community organising, can help churches and other types of organisations as well play a role in channelling people's anger into constructive action for the common good. And helping people get a seat at the table with local decision makers is a great place to start. If people can see that change is possible around small local issues and they can feel there is some agency that they can have in making that happen, then it's not going to solve the problem entirely, but it's a great place to start. So we're going to spend the rest of this session learning about negotiation, because there's a lot heard and said about, oh, this is just about making sure people's voices are heard. In my experience, that's not enough. If you are angry about something and it really matters to you, you don't just want to be heard, you want to feel like some change will happen as well. And that's the difference between negotiation and a chat, or negotiation and coming to a consultation meeting where people may or may not take some action off the bat. So we're going to do a negotiation role play now to start to get you thinking about what it might be like to negotiate and to try and get something that you want with a powerful person. Okay, is everybody up for that? Okay. So this is Greenbelt, it's a very cultured audience. So some of you in this are going to be playing the role of the Greek chorus, okay? You're going to be there, out there, observing what's going on, and then commenting on it as we go. But we also need some players for this role play. We need, well, Hannah is going to be playing the role of a Labour MP who's got an absolutely stonking majority, and, you know, is feeling very pleased with herself, thanks very much. We also need some people who are willing to be the leader of the local council in Hannah's area, also a Labour council, and a media advisor. So if you're interested in the press, you can do that. And then we need three people who are a local group of citizens who are trying to negotiate for a change. So we need six people overall, and we're going to set the seats up here, and we're going to give you mics. So Hannah's going to be an MP. Does anybody want to help Hannah and be her assistant, leader of the council? Need somebody to be leader of the council, somebody to be press advisor. Sally is coming forward. Let's give her a round of applause. Yay! So Hannah, do you want to set yourself up here? Anyone else want to join this team here? Okay, well let's recruit the citizens group. So we need three people who are going to be from the local community. And your task is to get the local MP to agree to two things. Okay, to visit the food bank that you're running at the local church and to meet with the people who use it. Particularly those who are affected by the child benefit cap. People know about the child benefit cap, yeah? It's quite a live issue, isn't it? I've sort of picked that because I think lots of people know about it. And then the other aim of the negotiation is to get the MP to raise the issue of the child benefit, the two-child limit, to Keir Starmer or Rachel Reeves, that's the Prime Minister or the Chancellor. Okay? So I need three people who are willing to come and play that role up here, and we're then going to watch and learn about negotiation together. So, have I got any three people? It's going to be a very one-sided negotiation. Let's give this gentleman a round of applause.
Woo! There's another Jonathan in the back as well.
Yeah. Do you want to come? If you could grab a seat when you come, that would also be helpful again. Have we got
one behind you. There we go. Are you going to be my assistant?
One more person? Anyone want to join? Dave, would you be up for this? Is there someone else? Yeah, did you want to do it? It's looking kind of male at the moment, so if we can get a bit of... I'll tell you again in a minute. It's just...
Woo! There's a chair behind you, John. Here's a chair.
Do you want to grab a chair? What I like about what you said is, I've forgotten what we're arguing about, but I'm up for an argument. That's exactly what I mean. So we've got the Labour MP.
I think you've got a big team here as well.
Which one of you is the leader of the council?
I think Sally is the leader of the council.
Beth's the media advisor to the MP. No, oh, sorry, you're not in this. Well, Beth, do you want to, if you're not going to be there, do you want to move slightly out? Does anybody want to step in and be the media advisor to the local MP? Fun role?
I think Matt's saying,
yeah. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Yeah?
Matt?
Where's Matt?
Matt's over there in the green house, and I think he said yes.
I think someone's being volunteered.
Are you volunteered? Yeah, do you want to come forward? Yeah, let's give Matt a round.
Yay!
Honestly, when you get involved in Citizens, it is normally sort of less forceful volunteering than this. thank you, Matt. So we've got our team here, and then we've got our three. Who are our three people? So do you want to bring more chairs so that you're kind of face to face?
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, face to face with these guys. So if you guys can
get
move your chairs.
There we go. Hello, welcome to our office.
Okay, so
so there's try and
your goal. So you can choose who you are. Maybe you're from the local church or the local food bank or a local community group. This person's your local MP. This person's your local council leader. The same party, they're both Labour, and you are wanting them to visit your local food bank and meet the people who use it, and to raise the issue of the two-child benefit cap with the Prime Minister or the Chancellor of the Exchequer. So winning the negotiation looks like that, you can convince them to do that. Is your assignment clear? Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah? Seem pretty easy?
Yeah.
How about if I tell you you've only got 4 minutes to do it? Okay? So Dave, would you be the timekeeper? Would you mind keeping time as we go? Now what we're going to do here is we're going to give them 4 minutes. Now in a normal negotiation you would get more than 4 minutes, but we've got limited time and we want to get as much going as possible. For those of you who are watching, observe what are the dynamics at play, what works, what doesn't work, and then we will halt it at a particular point and we'll go out to the chorus and say, what advice can we give them, assuming that they haven't already won the negotiation, to see if they can be a bit more successful. Because just spoiler alert, this isn't going to be a walkover, okay? Hannah is going to need to be convinced, okay? Is everybody clear?
I'll give you 1 minute warning, okay?
Yeah.
Right.
So, the other final thing is, there are no rules, other than obviously no physical violence, this is Greenbelt, right? And also, I can interrupt with your permission. And I won't do that wantonly, I'll do it if I think it's going to be useful. Everybody happy with that? Okay? So you have 4 minutes. To achieve your objective, here's the microphone, starting now.
Hello, welcome to our office. So nice to see you. Glad you've got 4 minutes today.
Thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to meet us. We really appreciate it.
Very busy.
I'll cut straight to the chase. One of the reasons we were keen to meet with you today is we think it would be really beneficial if you were able to visit the local food bank that we're running. Just come down, meet some of the people who are affected by poverty and particularly by the two-child benefit cap. Just meet some of the people. So if we could leave here with a commitment from you that you're up for coming in to give a visit, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm very busy, you know, new parliament.
Have you contacted your ward councillors? Because obviously... we're all very busy, and your ward councillors are there to represent you.
Really good idea.
It's really, really important for the local community to see you there. Obviously, the person they voted for. We know that you've valued this in the past. We see that you're extremely empathetic to the way that you voted. We've been really pleased to see that, and we see that all the work that you do. So it'd be really great if we could see you there representing that local community and showing, obviously. We'll get photographers there.
Photographers, wonderful. My media manager here. Maybe we could get a kind of, I wonder if we could get a press shot. I don't think we'd want them to talk about the two-child benefit cap though. We're new government, it's quite difficult, you know, it's politically sensitive hands are tied, budgets are, you know, but maybe kind of a nice photo about how we're building a relationship with the community.
Yeah, on the social media as well, look, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Obviously we wouldn't want put you in a politically compromising situation, but what is important to us is that you make a meeting with either Keir Starmer or Rachel Reeves to discuss that benefit cap, because we realise that that's obviously going to be quite important to you. It's very important in our communities. Mm. So if you were to bring that up with Keir Starmer or Rachel Reeves, not necessarily into the press, but that would be really important.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so in terms of a meeting for this photo, I think probably we're looking at maybe 18 months' time. It might be.
Yeah.
It's quite busy, but there's a slot maybe in 18 months where I think we could come down, and probably by then things might have cooled down a little bit. I mean,
by then the food bank might actually be in existence anymore. We need your help and support now to maintain this food bank, because we can't service all the youth we've got.
Can I just come in and say, obviously, our MP is very busy and has the commitments of Westminster. But, I mean, as leader of the council, I could probably come. Actually, April would be probably a very good time for me to come and visit you.
That would be great.
Everybody together.
That would be nice. Yeah.
Kicking it into the long grass. What about people who... I've got three children. Two of them can get child benefit. The third one can't get child benefit. Is that child any less worthy of that child benefit?
No, I really feel for you. And I wonder if one of our caseworkers might be able to have a conversation with you about your specific case, because that sounds really tough.
The other cases in the ward?
You know, our government are doing their absolute best with a very difficult legacy that they inherited, and it's gonna, as you know, we've inherited an absolute financial mess from the Conservatives, and we're gonna have to spend many years rebuilding our economy. Rachel Reeves has got to make some very difficult decisions, so I'm so sorry, I've got to run, but I really hope that you'll be able to enjoy a visit in April. And look forward to seeing the pictures on social media.
Time up. Okay. Who are you applauding? That was terrible. Okay, so what's going on? Would you mind coming forward, because we can't, the recording won't pick it up. If you've got a point to make, if you would come and queue here, that would be great, where Hannah is with the mic. What's going on?
Our local people haven't given the MP a good reason for turning up. They're not solving a problem for her.
Okay.
So she doesn't see a win out of doing this.
Okay. Lovely. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Another observation coming in.
To our panel here, I might have suggested that there's already bad press about what the Labour Party hasn't accomplished within the first week of coming into power. Of course, you're supposed to reverse everything. You know that, don't you? But I think to remind them of that the press and the good publicity, yes, we are doing things, yes, it will be delayed, and to highlight that might have been helpful. I don't know.
So let's get into practical suggestions. Hannah, would you mind taking the mic back? Practical suggestions for the team. So there's one there about thinking maybe about the press and how that might link in. There's another one about thinking about how can we make this a win-win for the MP. Any other practical suggestions about what this team could do? And by the way, you've done a great job. This is really tough. You have 4 minutes. No time to prepare and practice. Any other suggestions about what they could do?
I would say tell the Labour MP that your vote isn't guaranteed. Like, you can vote for someone else if you don't feel represented by them.
That's a great point. It is also a point that's probably more powerful just before an election rather than just after an election, isn't it? So they may well say, well, let's see how you feel in 4 years' time or 5 years' time. What, one more from Lindsay.
Tell them how many people you've got behind you, and say that if they won't come to you, you'll go to them. And that'll make a really good picture.
Amazing. So just next to Beth is a little a blackboard of some of the key tools that we teach people for negotiation. We run days worth of training on this, so we're never going to pack them into 2 minutes, but I'm going to rattle through them, and I am going to, of course, expect that you utilise all of them in the next 4 minute situation, okay? But one is about having a plan. We gave you no time to plan, but this is just, it's useful to have a plan, isn't it, and to think about this. There is always a time limit,
So that's why we've got a timekeeper here. It'll obviously be longer than 4 minutes normally, although we have, Hannah, haven't we, had MPs say, oh, we'll meet you for an hour and then walk out after 20 minutes.
I once had a negotiation with Theresa May when she was Prime Minister plan that was meant to be for an hour, and she cut it to 7 minutes.
Right. It happens.
Yeah.
Wow. Think about the different roles you're going to play. Some of you might be good cop, others might be bad cop, somebody might be focusing on negotiation, some of you might be listening to what the others are saying. Think about the roles in the team. Somebody might be sharing stories. You started to share a personal testimony, which I thought was really powerful, that started to move this from an academic discussion to, well, this is my kids you're talking about. Be specific. You did a great job of that, I think, right at the off. Sorry, what was your name?
Al.
Al, right from the off, was right in there. Going to cut to the chase. You were very specific about what you wanted right away, but often we don't do that. We sort of assume the other side know what we want, and we're not specific about it. And then also be up for compromising, not on your integrity, but maybe they could come in 6 months, or maybe that's too late, or maybe they would be willing to speak to the Chief Secretary of the Treasury rather than the Chancellor of the Exchequer. So sometimes we get too rigidly focused on our exact ask, when actually a bit of give and take, a bit of compromise might actually get us to either a better outcome or an okay outcome. Think about the self-interest of the other people on the other side. That's what one of the ladies here mentioned. Give them a reason to want to do what you're asking. And then think about relationship. So you could negotiate a deal in quite a fractious and difficult context where everybody's furious and they run off afterwards. You might get a commitment, but will they really keep it? What you're looking for is a long-term relationship, because deals are kept in the context of that relationship. So it's a little bit of a dance between injecting some tension to get them to move off the rather frustrating filibustering, oh, well, we want to be lovely, but we're not actually going to commit to anything you ask, kind of position they're in now, without kind of completely destroying the relationship. And finally, think about power analysis, and that was Lindsay's point. Think about who you've got behind you, so that instead of seeing three people in a room, they maybe think you're part of something bigger. And that, by the way, is why we build broad-based citizens' alliances in different parts of the country that are not just individuals, but diverse alliances of lots of types of organisations, because that brings the power. So, having given you some ideas, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to plan, okay? So you can do number one, to think about how you might want to utilise the suggestions, and then we'll have another 4 minutes, and we'll see where we get. Okay, your 4 minutes starts now.
Sorry, the meeting I had actually is a bit delayed, so you've got another 4 minutes. Anything else you wanted
Thank
to add,
but really
we've got you.
You giving us a little bit more time. Listen, 18 months, so I'm going to be honest with you. We all know the two-child benefit cap is not popular. It's not popular in the Labour Party, it's not popular in the PLP, and it's not popular in the country. In 18 months' time, Keir Starmer might well have axed it anyway. If you're seen by the local community as being on the front foot of that, that's going to look very, very good for you in terms of
good
PR.
Point. Good point.
Yeah, you
let's just cut the chase. Yeah. Because you don't want to waste your time, I don't know. So why are we here? We want to get an outcome, really. And ultimately, we're not just sat here alone in the room today. We've got Citizens UK behind us. We've got a lot of organisations backing us up. So ultimately, if nothing comes out of today, it's not going to stop. You know, we have had really unfortunate riots recently. People are unhappy. We've had protests recently. That isn't something that we're willing to stop or compromise on. So if this doesn't happen today, then we definitely will keep mobilising. Things will carry on happening. So we really want something to come out of today. But what we want to come out of today, I will pass on.
Yes, we have got a 10th anniversary of our food bank.
And we can congratulations, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Providing a service that's not being provided elsewhere for poor and starving children. And families who are being taxed too highly and can't afford to buy the food for their families. So I'm sure you'd like to be seen as being involved in that.
We would love to, and 10 years is really impressive, isn't it? And I think, I mean, look, you're right, it is really important, as you say, that the community know that we're on side. I wonder whether, Sally, that's something that maybe you, when's the 10-year anniversary celebrations?
Next week.
Oh,
next week. If you can make sure the details go through, to my PA, then what I'll be able to do is I really will look to prioritise my diary and come along. I may not be able to stay for the whole event, but I certainly would like to come. And would the media be able to come with us so we can actually talk about the work? And what I'd be happy to do, if possible, where you were talking about the three people who had the particular story, could we make sure that I have time to meet them, to hear their story, and just speak to them specifically within that?
Like I was talking about earlier, I don't think having, unfortunately, having you there is going to do a lot for the anger and the
feeling
at the moment. And the people have come and asked for their MP that they voted for, that they would promised were going to make change, was going to turn up, was going to be there for the community, wasn't going to be based in Westminster. So we will need you next week to come along. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of quite unhappy.
Now, look, next week is just, it's a very difficult week. I wish if you'd let us know a bit earlier, but what I will commit to you that I will try and come. What I really don't want is any of that anger. I really don't. So why don't we, I've got to be in Parliament. So it is, I've got to go and vote representing the community, representing all of you. But what I will commit to is that in, within the next 2 months, if we can get a date in the diary, I will try and make that work. Even if it's a breakfast, or even if it's a,
And also, could we have a statement from you that kind of I can take a greeting to the 10th anniversary as well as publicise when you will be going?
Absolutely, and we'll do a video to celebrate it on social media to make sure everyone knows how much I support the work that the community does.
And that is time. That's a huge round of applause for our negotiation team. I'm pretty sure your local MP in whatever party council will not be as difficult and obstinate as this.
Sorry, I was really doing a caricature.
But we deliberately do this for training purposes, because you will have this sort of experience as you go through. And you did get a compromise. You got a step along the way to getting them to come, and the beginnings of a relationship there. So well done. If you've enjoyed this practical element of this, tomorrow we'll be doing a different workshop. That will be on how to do a campaign strategy called The Five Steps to Social Change. And on Sunday, we'll be doing the same thing, another workshop on how to run what we call a weaving trust, which is very specifically about how to get people who are different from one another to be able to relate effectively across their institution. So if you're interested in these practical workshops, then you can come to that. So we're going to move now to our next steps and our call to action. And Hannah, I think it's over to you.
Oh, extra microphone. You are released. Thank you. Round of applause again for our role players. That takes some bravery. I think actually I'm going to call on Rue first, who's going to share some of the next steps from your side that people can take action on.
All right, we have a slide here. Thank you, Eddie. The Constituency Action Network is something that we really want to take hold of the UK and especially Britain to think about how churches can have a real and developing and meaningful relationship with their MP. As you've seen, it's a complex and a tricky negotiation sometimes. We want to develop meaningful relationships between churches and their local MP or MPs if they're sort of straddling different constituencies. And we want to facilitate that through something that's called the Constituency Action Network. There's a QR code there if your phone works and you can do that kind of thing. Or you can just go onto our website, which is jpit.uk/can. And that will give you some information about how you can get involved in this network. It's specifically tuned for URC, Baptist and Methodist, but others are welcome to join as well and to find out some of the great resources. We have some webinars on the next slide that are coming up on the 29th of August and the 4th of September. One's at lunchtime, one's in the evening, so you might be able to get to those. We would love you to join those webinars and find out more about what it's about and if it's a good fit for you and your congregation. We want the whole congregation to be involved in this. It's not just about one or two keen people in the congregation, although we want those as well, but about a whole congregation coming together to say, our church cares about this. Our church cares about our community. Our church is listening to the community. Our church and our community together want change in this area. And so by developing these networks, we believe that there'll be a real strength of our voice together, asking for local changes, but also thinking nationally about how we can go back up the river and try and make some of those changes in government policy and national policy as well. We really think this is something that local churches can get involved with, not too onerous. It's free to join, and you will be really supported the whole way through it by our staff and by each other in networking together. What is there to lose? It sounds like a brilliant thing. Have I sold it to you?
Yeah.
Great. It'd be great to see you all at the webinars that are coming up. Go to our website, jpit.uk/can, and you can sign up to get the Zoom details so that you can join those webinars whenever suits you. Is that all right? Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Roo. And finally, from kind of next steps from us at Citizens UK, we firstly invite you to come and visit us at our takeaway tent, which is kind of near the end of the row of them over there, to have further conversations. There you can find out about how to do a number of things that are making change in your community. For example, sponsoring an Afghan refugee family to resettle in your area before Christmas, becoming voter registration champions, organising a Weaving Trust event to help people in your neighbourhood relate across difference, which is obviously in the context of what we're talking about, as important as it ever has been, and signing up to become a living wage employer. But ultimately, what we're inviting you to as Citizens UK is into a relationship. We know that we can't make change on our own. The last time I was doing a negotiation kind of like that, it started, there was a one woman in a school that we worked with in Lewisham who wanted to try and get the council to fund free school meals for kids like hers who had migrant parents who weren't able to access the same support that other kids were. And on her own, the council just scoffed at her, basically brushed her away and didn't listen to her. When she went back a month later with the local priest, with a number of staff and parents from the school, with a local charity and food bank coming together and showing like a united front, they listened to her and actually supported, and over a number of months she won a campaign to get them to fund free school meals for her kids and others like her. So what we're inviting you to is into being in relationship with other people that also want to make change. It's very hard to do on our own as individuals, but when we work together, we're able to achieve big things. So it's really great to be with you all, and hopefully see you at the following sessions over the festival and at the takeaway tent and beyond. Woo. Thank you, URC, for hosting us as well and working with us on this.
Yeah, thanks to Beth for sharing her story.
Yeah, woo, Beth!
Thanks to Lindsay and everybody who fed in for the reflection.
Thanks so much for listening to this recorded talk. Explore our full Greenbelt Festival Talks archive with almost 20 years of recorded talks and podcasts for free at greenbelt.org.uk/talks.